Hello and welcome to The Property Exchange, your guide to the latest news, views and opinions in residential property, with Winkworth, with you every step of the way in the property market. Your host is writer and commentator Anne Ashworth.
Hello and welcome to this latest episode of the Property Exchange podcast. This time, Prime Central London. What's happening now in the capital's elite neighbourhoods like Knightsbridge and Chelsea? In this episode, we're focusing on Prime Central London, those sought-after neighbourhoods where you will find some of the world's most valuable real estate. We'll be talking about why there's been a resurgence of demand in these areas after the pandemic lull. But will the absence of Russian buyers derail this recovery? Or are other nationalities and domestic buyers taking up the slack? To try and answer these questions, I'm joined by Will Yule, who heads up Winkworth's office covering Knightsbridge, Chelsea and Belgravia. Will, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure.
What's happening now in Prime Central London, or PCL, as the industry tends to call it? Are buyers coming back? And if so, what kind of buyers? Where are they coming from?
Yes, thanks, Anne. It was a slow start to 2022, but since restrictions from the pandemic have eased, we've certainly seen an influx of buyers back into the market. Primarily, they're from UK residents buying. So Chelsea has been a very active part of London for us, whereas the more internationally focused parts of the territory that I cover have seen less influx, although that is starting to change now. We've seen those markets from Western Europe in particular, so France and Italy, but also the Middle East as well, picking up substantially in the last few weeks.
Everybody talks about the Russians, don't they? But do they actually represent a big part of the PCL market anymore?
Obviously, it's a topic of conversation at many dinner parties at the moment, what the unfortunate events going on in Ukraine at the moment, and obviously our hearts go out to them. And I think it's right that the UK government are freezing assets to put pressure on the Putin regime. But contrary to popular belief, this hasn't led to numerous forced sales of houses and flats throughout Prime Central London. I suspect there'll need to be some form of due process before these properties can be physically seized and sold off, which is likely to take time. But the number of Russian inquiries that we've been getting has reduced in recent years generally, and I don't see the lack of a Russian buyer substantially impacting the market in itself.
So from where else are the buyers coming?
Well, as I said, Western Europe seems to be a hot spot at the moment, particularly France and Italy. We're seeing a lot of American investors just because of perhaps currency trades and investment side of things. And the Middle Eastern market has been a long-standing investor in Knightsbridge in particular.
So Americans coming back, are they looking for historic properties or just to make an investment here?
The American market does tend to favour the sort of quintessentially English style of property, the period property, Victorian terraces, Regency, stucco properties throughout Belgravia in particular, but other parts of Prime Central London.
Now, you said that domestic buyers were returning. We need to talk about the impact of interest rates on this part of the London market. Do they have any effect on people's ability to buy, or are the people who are shopping for a home here largely possessed of piles of cash and so don't need a mortgage?
Well, I suspect that economics generally, whether it's high interest rates, inflation, are having an impact on all segments of the market, whether you've got lots of money or, struggling to maximise your mortgage. Of course, with the value of property in the area that I cover, it's often perceived that it doesn't have such a great impact. But they will be, the buyers will be hedging against world economics anyway. And I suspect that we haven't yet seen the changes that interest rates will have as they, you know, look to increase.
So as we come into the spring and into the summer, you expect to be having more conversations with buyers about interest rates?
Yes, I think that will certainly be a more of a factor then. At the moment, I think it's early days and we're still got a strong demand from buyers, pent-up demand. There is a lack of supply as a whole, and that's feeding the market.
Now, Will, I want you to take us on a little tour of your areas. So first of all, let's go Chelsea. Give us a little tour and tell us what makes it so very special.
Well, Chelsea manages to maintain a very village-like feel. It makes it very popular for families. It's made up of a lot of houses. It's got some very good schools. It's obviously been made famous recently in a TV show, which is a heavily embellished take on life in Chelsea. There's a really strong community feel throughout Chelsea. You can walk into the local grocery shop and they'll know your name. And you get a real sense of this when you walk around there. Around Chelsea.
We're going to move east to Belgravia, to those gorgeous white stucco terraces. What makes that special and different?
Well, Belgravia is famous for its Regency architecture. As you say, white stucco fronted houses and beautiful garden squares. It gives off a real English feel, and properties have often been in families for a generation or more. When they do come up for sale, they command a premium, and it's perhaps no surprise that some of the most expensive and sought-after UK properties are located here.
Tell us about those garden squares. Did they achieve a new appeal during the pandemic?
Yeah, I think everyone looked for open space and places, greenery, whether that was in Knightsbridge with the proximity to Hyde Park, whether it's the garden squares like Cadogan Square, where you can stretch your legs. A lot of these garden squares, you need to have a property where it has permission to be able to join the community that can use the square. It is not necessarily a given that they're not open to the public. So again, that adds a real premium to some of the properties.
So essentially a garden square, it's like your own private central London park.
It's very much like that. Quite often, you will be the only person in that green space. But at other times, you'll have plenty of children kicking a ball around and playing in that area.
So it's everybody's image of the perfect London life. Now, we're going to get on the bus or maybe we walk and we're in Knightsbridge. Tell us a bit more about Knightsbridge. It's more than Harrods and Harvey Nichols, isn't it?
It is, although it's often thought of as a home or a second home for wealthy international buyers. It does have one of the highest proportion of foreign-born residents in London. And there are extremely sought-after schools for residents with young families. And again, the proximity to Hyde Park means that even if you don't have the luxury of a private garden because you're in a flat, there is outside space very close by.
So in fact, actually, throughout your areas, there is a lot of green space.
Absolutely.
Quite a lot of it is actually covered by garden squares or parks. So it's got to have been very appealing during the pandemic. Now, when people come and say what they want in a home, let's say the ideal Chelsea home, what do people say? Will, you've got to give me a house that has this, this and this. What are their requirements?
Well, it very much depends on that particular buyer and their budget. In and around the area that I cover, I was in a white stucco fronted house on Eaton Place with an adjoining Muse house, guided off market at £30 million, and we've just been instructed on a Chelsea townhouse in Bramerton Street, so the heart of Chelsea, with its own gym, cinema room, wine cellar, asking a cool £8.45 million. But ultimately, it really depends on who the buyer is as to what they are looking for. Quite often, it's, you know, they need a certain number of bedrooms because of the number of children they have. They might want to be within a certain part of Chelsea or Knightsbridge to make sure that their children get into the local school.
Will, is the market really hot? Has there been any competitive bidding for properties, for example?
Definitely in some segments of the market. Houses, for example, they're in short supply at the moment. We've seen a number of instances where properties have gone to sealed bids, multiple or actually a far fewer buyers, but with less property to choose from. That's still creating the demand that's required to get the best price for a property. And as such, we're seeing, particularly in Chelsea, but some parts of Belgravia as well, house prices in particular, getting a very good result.
So when you're talking about big competition for a house, the property that everybody bidding really wants to make their home, what kind of house would it be? Would there be a terrace? Would there be some kind of garden? Would it be the history or the architecture? I just want to get some sense of what is the dream home.
Well, going back to the different areas, you'll find that buyers are very particular about the location they want to live in. You know, if they are set on Chelsea, they don't want to consider a house in Belgravia often. And they are looking for something with some outside space, period features, the right number of bedrooms to accommodate their family, proximity to schools or to open spaces as well. And that has a driven demand. So if a property comes up that ticks their boxes, that often gets a good result for them.
Shops and restaurants and cafes, are they among buyers' requirements?
Absolutely. This area of London is famous for its shops and restaurants, but also parts of Belgravia have lovely cobbled streets, nice hidden pubs down a secluded alley, cafes that where you can sit out on the pavement and watch the world go by, and very similar in Chelsea as well. And that's increasingly becoming the case in Knightsbridge as well, where cafes are spilling out onto the pavement a bit more and people are able to sit outside and watch the world go by. But it's certainly something that buyers want to look for when they're out there searching.
So a good coffee shop, almost top of the list.
Very much so.
Now, the lettings market, is demand coming back for gorgeous apartments in your neck of the woods?
The letting market certainly dropped off during the pandemic itself, but in the latter part of last year and the first part of 2022, actually it's been very strong indeed. Stock levels have been very low, and as a result we've often had numerous applicants applying to rent the same, you know, very few properties. So a lot of them are going over asking price, and we're getting a good rental market at the moment. That said, it's very much driven by supply and demand, and at the moment that supply is much lower than we're used to at this time of year.
Is there a message there for landlords? Maybe this is the place to invest.
Absolutely. There are quite a lot of buy-to-let properties on the market at the moment. That is, I think there are, with regulations changing throughout the industry as a whole, there are some landlords that are now considering whether being a buy-to-let landlord is the way they want to go. But then there's also another segment of the market that is taking full advantage of that. And with rental demands currently coming back very strongly after the pandemic, Knightsbridge, Chelsea and Belgravia would be good places to consider investing.
Are some of those tenants international students at the elite universities of London?
Absolutely. Obviously, again, the pandemic had a huge impact on the international student community and also the knock-on effect of the landlords who rent to them. However, testament to the regard in which the London academic establishments are held, that market has bounced back very quickly and strongly. We get a number of international students registering with us to rent, who are back studying in person. I think during the pandemic, a lot of us thought that Zoom and Teams and video conferencing would be the way that education might go, but it doesn't seem to be the case. People are returning and want to be in the classroom in person.
You've taken us on a tour through this glorious mix of garden squares, architecture, educational opportunities, restaurants. It's a great part of town. Is there any city in the world that can compete with London on the property front?
I'm sure there'll be plenty to think there is, but London will always be at the top of my list. I think the diversity across not just the area I cover, but throughout the whole of London. It's often seen as villages and areas. They're all very diverse, all very different. And I think London, the architecture, the shops, the culture is all a very nice place to put down your roots.
Great place to put down your roots. That's Prime Central London. Will, thanks so much for joining us for this episode of The Property Exchange. Do subscribe and join us for next month's podcast, where we'll be talking about the trends in the London rental market, focusing on how and where tenants want to live now and how landlords need to respond.
This has been the Property Exchange podcast. For more information, go to winkworth.co.uk or find us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. The producer was Tom Maddox. For more episodes, make sure to subscribe to your favourite podcast provider.